What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 314, and this week's podcast is brought to you by the brand new Patriot Viper Venom DDR5 memory. You can see it right here. Their first DDR5 entry into the their first entry into the DDR5 realm. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Viper Venom, you can pick up a kit. They have RGB and non-RGB versions. We'll talk about that a little bit later because we did review the kit that I have here this past week. But with me, after 2 weeks off, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. What's up? We had 2 weeks off, and like the last couple weeks have been off for me anyway. So I was like, I thought we recorded last week, and then I was like, no, but we did play. So yeah. I'm a little off, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, you went on a little vacation. Where did you go?
We went down to Branson in the Table Rock Lake area. Nice. Just kind of hung out there. Went to an amusement park. Went down under a cave, and
yeah. I didn't see any cave pictures. What's this cave that you went to?
I think I took five pictures total when I was out there.
That's good. I mean, that's good.
I brought all my stuff, right? And that's kind of how I was. I was like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it, whatever. Other people have taken pictures of the same cave, probably better pictures than I'll take, so I'll just not take it.
Well, that's fun. I'm glad you had a good time. And I went to Arizona. I went to Sedona. I went all over the place doing all these crazy things. I took a ton of pictures.
You put up a ton of pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you use your drone out there?
No, it's crazy. I didn't use it at all because, like, one, a lot of the places where I went, it was super windy, and I didn't want to lose the drone in, like, a place that I couldn't go back and get it. And then, obviously, like, Grand Canyon, you can't use it there. All national parks, you can't use drones. So it's, yeah, I brought it with full intentions of using it, and I didn't end up using it. And a lot of times, like, we were doing these hikes where, like, we had to get to, like, the top at a certain time for, like, sunset, and we were, like, you know, it was, I didn't use it at all, surprisingly. I really wanted to certain points, but I was like, you know, if I use it right now, it could just go flying somewhere, and then I'm just gonna, didn't want to lose it. So, but yeah, I had a great trip. Like I said, saw the Grand Canyon for the first time. Have you been to the Grand Canyon?
Only flown over it. I think I've been there maybe like as a 6-month-old. So,
It was really crazy. Just how big it really is.
I mean, you can tell how big it is from a plane, but you don't get the sense of scale.
Yeah. The scale is just pretty insane. And I really like how they have like it all set up. So I visited the South Room and how they have it all kind of set up. It's just really nice. And it was a really great time. So, but we are back to talking tech. As I always say during our podcast, if you do want to follow along, we do have a full show notes page that's linked in the description of this video, or the podcast, that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want more information on something that we're talking about, or if you just want to follow along with us, it's all listed right here on our show notes page. And we will start with the DDR5 memory from Patriot, again, their Viper Venom. And we took a look at their DDR5 6200 kit running at 6200 megahertz with timings of 40, 40, 40, 76 at 1.35 volts. As I said, like, I'll bring myself up big so you guys can kind of see this. This is the memory right here. Pretty basic looking memory. Honestly, while the heat spreader and everything is like, it looks all right, I would say Patriot has put out better looking memory. It just has the Viper logo and everything like that. It's nothing great. And then you have the Viper up top with the, where the RGB goes. I would say that I don't know. How do you feel about it, Ryan? I just like, it doesn't catch my eye, I would say.
No, like if I'm looking at a lineup of memory and like aesthetics are one of my main things, I'm probably not going to pick it out. But I don't know. It's probably fine.
Yeah, I mean,
it
looks
nothing I hate about it. It's just, I don't know, generic RGB memory, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little different, like two-tone color with the Viper on the one side, and, you know, but it's compared to what some of the other stuff we've seen, it's definitely not the best looking memory, in my opinion. But again, for a lot of people, you're not really looking at the side of the memory. You're mainly looking at the RGB at the top, you know, which has the Viper logo in red this time with a your normal RGB diffuser and all that kind of stuff. We'll show you some pictures of what it looks like all lit up and everything. Yeah, it's like, again, it's like your standard kind of RGB memory. And it, there's no fault to Patriot here, because when it comes to RGB memory, most companies are just putting your typical, you know, diffuser at the top with their logo in the center. It doesn't, you know, and again, this is their first entry. We could see more different versions or different styles come out later. I definitely liked their previous version, the DDR4 version of their, I believe it was their Viper RGB. It kind of had a bigger, thicker diffuser. But overall, like I said, the memory looks good. It's super fast, 6,200 megahertz, which is really, really fast. You know, we tested it and it basically, I mean, it's the fastest DDR4 five kit that we've ever tested. It's just incredibly fast. And I believe in the, so they're coming out with normal, normal versions, non-RGB, and then RGB versions. I believe the RGB versions go 5,600 megahertz, 6,000 megahertz, and 6,200 megahertz, all 32 gigabyte kits. So that's kind of the options you have for the RGB versions. And I, like I said, it's great performing memory. It just, you know, the RGB is compatible with all major motherboard RGB software. So you can control it via software with your motherboard's RGB software, and you can kind of match it up with all the other RGB elements inside your system very easily. We tested it with Asus's Aura Sync, no problem. They did say that they were going to have their own app, but it was not available at the time we did the review. So maybe they'll be coming up with an app a little bit later for RGB. But again, most people are running motherboards that support, you know, this. And you're going to have to be, actually, because it's DDR5, now that I think about it. You know, you're not going to be running a Z690 motherboard that doesn't have RGB support. So, so I thought it was a really great kit. Again, the heat spreader, that's just me, you know, and again, you're not really going to be looking at the side, but it does, it's just a little, I don't know, a little left to be desired by me. But overall, I think it's a really good kit. Again, super fast. You know, for those looking, you have three different options as far as speeds go and all of that. So definitely check it out. $379.99 for the 32 gigabyte kit. So DDR5 is coming down in price as well, which is a really good thing to see. And talking about things coming down in price and being available, I don't know if you've noticed, but like there's actually graphics cards available on Amazon. Like,
yeah,
on Amazon, there's graphics cards.
And they don't feel available. Like you're just getting torn up on the price either. I mean, they're still higher than MSRP, but they feel a little better.
But they're like actual car, like sometimes like you, like over the past year, we've seen like some like random, like, I don't know, like AMD super low end, like RX 580s or something, you know, like available. But the
actual current gen cards.
So we've seen like all of the RTX 30 series be available on Amazon now. Like it's pretty nice to see that. I think we're coming back. And that's what, like I said, DDR5 prices are going down a little bit as well. And that's really good to see, I think. So if you are looking for DDR5, the prices are coming down and there's a lot more availability. You see this kit coming out. We're taking a look at a kit next week, which we'll tell you about towards the end of the podcast. So definitely it's getting better for if you're looking to build a new PC. Yeah. Talking about that, if you are looking for an air cooler, we took a look at one from Be Quiet. We took a look at their Shadowrock Slim 2. I would say this is like the perfect air cooler. You're looking for something that's pretty good performance wise, super quiet, and then easy to install with like no real clearance issues when it comes to memory or anything like that. It's just a super easy to install cooler, and you can see, you know, it's very thin. you're not going to have any issues with RAM, even with the fan installed. No, it doesn't cover any of your RAM slots at all, which is really nice. And it's like, you know, the name Be Quiet, the fan is extremely quiet, very, very quiet fan. Four copper heat pipes. They do make direct contact with your CPU. So you have that direct touch bottom here. So you can see your heat pipes will make direct contact. And this is extremely for, we have seen some of these bases where like there's definitely like some space between the actual base of the heat sink and the heat pipes. Like this is actually really well done. So you have like that really direct contact and it's a flatter surface. I've seen ones that are pretty bad. This one's actually quite good here. And as far as performance goes, we'll jump to performance. It's pretty good. Idle, it keeps up with everything, which is kind of a given. Now load, it is towards the lower end of our test bracket. But again, almost all the coolers that we've tested so far in this test group are all dual tower, dual fan, like the big coolers. And then you can see in our two load tests, it holds its own pretty well in these tests, being very close to, you know, something like a NHD 15 from Noctua, only a few degrees off. So I think it does a really good job. And again, it's very, very quiet. Installation, I mean, you can see when we got this thing installed, like super easy. You know, here you can see it installed, like it doesn't even come close to your memory slots. You know what I mean? You can install, we install all of our cool, go ahead.
The heatsink width like barely is any larger than your CPU mounting, like your CPU profile. It's really thin.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, RAM clearance, don't even have to worry about it. We install all of our CPU coolers out of a system just to take the photos and everything. But you could easily install this in a system. You have more than enough room to do it. You don't even have to really, you could probably do this one vertically, meaning that your case is actually standing up, not sitting on its side, just because it's that easy to install too. So everything is very easy. No real issues with installation on this either. And the directions are very easy to follow too. So, and you can see just how much room is on the side here. You know, you're not like trying to put the screwdriver down in there and get things together. You know what I mean? It's all super, super easy to install. So, and this is priced pretty well. It's priced $47.90 right now on Amazon, which puts it in that kind of mid-tier bracket. You're not going super high. Like again, the NHD 15s are like $109, you know? So definitely saving a lot of money. And again, it's going to be a lot more quiet than those as well. So check out the review. Like I said, it's a good cooler. Especially if you have something like a Ryzen 3, Ryzen 5, or Core i3, Core i5, even i7. I mean, this can cool everything, but especially if you have those processors, there's really no reason to go to a super high-end air cooler. And again, this doesn't take up a whole lot of space. So if you are buying RGB memory, it's like it's not going to waste like what you have with a lot of those other coolers where sometimes even the heatsink covers all of your memory, but you know, the fans definitely do. Here you don't have any of that. So definitely go ahead and check that review out as well. And that brings us to this guy, which I have right here. So this is a cool little Bluetooth speaker. I think, you know, we're getting into summer. You were just telling me before we recorded talking about it's raining there, you know, and everything. Yep. But summer is definitely on the horizon. And I think one of the best things summer, at least for me, like I remember summer being either like out on a boat or like around a campfire or something like that. And there's always like music, like somebody has like music playing. And while our phones, yeah, they're all right for music, you know what I mean? But they're not great. You need like a little portable Bluetooth speaker. And we always get asked to review these and I typically turn them down just because I'm just like, they're all the same. Right. And that's a consensus. Sure. I think a lot of people have is that all Bluetooth speakers are the same. And I kind of felt that way for a while because I reviewed a bunch over the years and they all kind of whether the it doesn't you know the size and
until you get
like,
pretty big, they're all going to sound pretty bad. Yeah, all the times.
And the issue with a lot of them is that they sound all right, but they sound kind of like a tinny sound, like it's not good, and you don't get that a whole lot of bass that you would get with something,
right.
You know, something much bigger. But this little speaker, so this is the Tribit Stormbox Micro 2. This little tiny speaker has some bass to it, and it actually, like, I turned it on and I was like, oh, this is gonna sound like every other speaker. I turned it on and it sounds so good. It sounds full. It has that full sound. And I think for something this small, and it's slightly thick, but it's not big. Like, you could technically fit this in your pocket. I mean, it's something that it's super small. It sounds better than all the other Bluetooth speakers I have. And I have like a couple of them that are like, you know, into the hundreds of dollars. And this thing sounds better than all of them. Again, super small. One thing I also like about it is that it has a built-in battery, so you can charge your other devices. So, you know, you're out, you're with your friends all day. Like I said, you're out on the boat, you're hiking, whatever it is. And you're like, oh crap, I forgot my charger. My phone's about to die. It has a type C. You can connect your phone, connect other devices. Pretty awesome right there as well. And another thing I really like about it is it has this little rubber strap on it. And the cool thing about this is that you can put it around anything. Put it around, they show like a backpack. You can put it, you know, on the shoulder strap of your backpack. You can put it on your, like, if you ride a bike, you can put it around your bike. You can, I saw some people like put it in a tree and you kind of hang it in a tree. Like I said, I think this is like the ultimate portable speaker for the summer. I think it's small enough where it doesn't get in the way, so you don't need a backpack for this or anything like that. Sure. It sounds really, really good. It is IP67 rated, which means you can't get it wet. So like, say you were using it out on like a hike and it started raining, you don't have to worry about it getting broken or anything like that. And it has the built-in battery. So I think it's just everything in one small package. I really, really like this speaker for all of those reasons. And I gave it a 10 out of 10, which I typically don't Dang. Give a whole lot of products. 10 out of 10 recommended award. It's $59.99, $60. Like I said, perfect thing for the summer. It's just, I can't say anything bad about it. There's nothing wrong. I think it's priced good for the sound and everything that you get. Yeah. I mean, I don't, what would be wrong with it? I can't tell you anything that's wrong with it. So check it out. Company called Tribit. This is the first product of theirs that we've taken a look at, and I'm just really happy with it. Again, the biggest thing is the sound. If it had all these other features and it just sounded like every other speaker, it'd probably been like 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10, depending on price, but it just sounds that good. And this is like the speaker that I use around the house now all the time. And I have like probably 10 other speakers, and this is the one that I use. So, So definitely check out the review. Like I said, it's $59.99 and you can get it on Amazon. So it's really cool. Perfect thing for the summer. In the chat, we have Old Man. He's usually here every week. Good to see you. And he said he's working. He's probably just going to have to listen. Well, we're glad that you're here listening with us, and we'll jump to Case Mod Friday. And I thought you would like this one, Ryan. Okay. It's a really, really cool case. Water cooling case, which I've seen a few of these builds. So this one is from Designs by IFR. This is the Barrow. I think it's just Barrow, and then they added CH.
I saw that too.
They're from China, but it's their Star One case, which is this really cool kind of like circular water cooling built-in case, sort of like a mix of a test bench and sort of like a display case. And just, I like the colors, I like the water cooling, I like the choice of the colors of the fittings, which kind of match the cabling on it. It's just a great build. What do you think about this one?
It's not bad. Yeah. I'm usually not a big fan of the huge plexi base plate. I don't know what you want to call it. the huge distro plates that the motherboard and the rest of the components attach to builds.
Okay.
But no, it looks fine. I mean, it's not ugly. It's cool.
I think this, I think I would really like this. Like if it was sitting
I wish
here...
the gold, like they've got gold fittings. I wish the gold or the yellow from the power cables matched it a little better.
Yeah. I think you're not, I think the whole reason you're not going to get that match completely, I guess if they were a little bit darker,
if they were metallic or something, right? If they had some metallic properties to them.
Yeah. That would be a little bit better. But EK water cooling. Yeah, I like it. I like that blue. We haven't seen that many builds with like this blue in it. That's not like a kind of, I do like the ones with the frosted tubing, but I like I said, I like this. I like the way the light kind of hits the fittings and kind of makes them stand out a little bit more. Let's find a picture of the back. There's a picture of the back here. Well, there's part of the back with the radiators on the back. But yeah, it's just a nice build. And he built this for a streamer actually.
Okay.
And we have a video of it in the article if you want to check it out, but really cool stuff. Here's another one on the back over there. You can see the radiators and all that. It's just really cool build. Like I said, I just like how everything kind of goes together and it works really well. Obviously it's kind of hard to go wrong with this, I guess you would call this a case, you know, it's really hard to go wrong with it. I think if you mess this up, then I don't know, you know, but it's going to look good
over the top.
Yeah. It's just an awesome looking case. So definitely check it out. As I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday build. So if you want to see what you can kind of do with the computer or, you know, get some inspiration, if you're planning a next build, definitely go ahead and check all of that out. And that brings us to news. And, you know, we've had 2 weeks off. There's been some stuff going on, some interesting things. So we'll start with graphics cards. And next week, AMD is doing their Radeon RX 6000 refresh. And we've talked about this, or at least we covered it on the site for a little bit. And new design as far as the cards are looking, which I'm a fan of. And we're getting bumps in performance, obviously, because it's a refresh. So we're going to be getting the RX 6950 XT, the RX 6750 XT, and the RX 6650 XT. The final specs were confirmed, and we'll go through those. And here's what the cards do look like, if anybody is wondering. This is they're calling this the Midnight Black. You know, and then you have the 6650, the 6750, and the 6950. And I think did we talk about this?
Just a little bit when I think these images had come out and we weren't sure if they were official or not or what they were gonna end up like. I like the look of them. I think they're a great looking card.
Yeah, we'll wonder how loud those fans get. It's just like AMD's, like the reference cards, like notoriously loud. So we'll see, obviously, how that all goes. But starting off, top of the pack, RX 6950 XT. It's based off the Navi 21 XTX HGPU. It will completely max out the GPU. So you have 80 compute units, 5,120 stream processors, 80 ray accelerators. So these will all have, of course, built-in ray tracing hardware. It's basically, when it comes to AMD, it's one ray accelerator per compute unit. So we have 80 compute units, meaning we have 80 ray accelerators, 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory that runs across a 256-bit memory interface, base clock of 2100 megahertz, boost up to 2310 megahertz. That's a 4% increase over the current 6900 XT. TDP of the card, 335 watts. Moving down, we have the RX 6750 XT. It's based off the Navi 22 XT GPU, 40 compute units, which means we'll also have 40 ray accelerators, 2,560 stream processors, 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory across a 192-bit memory interface, GPU clock of 2,495 megahertz and a boost clock up to 2,600 megahertz. That's a 3% increase over the current clocks of the 6700 XT. TDP of this card is 250 watts. And then the final card is the RX 6600, or yeah, 6650 XT. This is powered by the Navi 23 XT, 32 compute units, which means you have 32 Ray accelerators as well, 2048 stream processors, and then 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory across a 128-bit memory interface, GPU clock of 2410 megahertz, and a boost clock of 2635 megahertz, 2% increase over the 6600 XT. TDP of 180 watts. These will be available May 10th. At least that's when the reviews should drop, would be May 10th. And then availability should be May 12th from all the rumors that we've heard. Expected pricing on these, the 6950 XT will be probably around $1,000. The 6750 XT will be $499. The 6650 XT will be $399. Those are all rumored prices. That's not official. All of this is not official, but it's basically official from the sources that this has all been gathered from. So I honestly like these refreshes. They make sense. We saw this with the processors from AMD as well. It makes sense for the time being to hold off to the next thing. What are your thoughts on
No, I agree. I think it's great timing, having the refreshed CPUs and GPUs out. You know, we just got the 5800 X3D, mm-hmm. right? Just recently. So
the CPU
CPU side. You pair that up with one of these refresh cards next week, you got a pretty nice system, and hopefully availability, right?
Yeah, hopefully the biggest thing is availability, and hopefully we would see prices of the older cards kind of go down slightly with these newer cards coming in, even though they kind of fit in the middle of the next thing. They're not, you know, hopefully we see a little bit drop in price of the older cards as well, which would be, you know, nice for the consumer. Talking about these cards, they were tested. And these were tested by the guys over at WCCF Tech. And we have some interesting results. We can see here are the scores. It's kind of hard to see in the video. But we have scores for 3D Mark TimeSpy, just a graphic score, which you can see both in TimeSpy and TimeSpy Extreme. And then they compared that to their scores with all, a lot of other mainstream cards. And the big kind of standout here is that the 6950 XT beats the RTX 3090 Ti in 3D Mark TimeSpy, you know, just the graphic score, which is pretty impressive.
That's what, almost a 10% faster? It's what, 22? Maybe not quite that much.
Yeah, not quite that much, but
pretty decent. Know,
yeah,
pretty. I mean, that's one test, you know. But still.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is just one test, but it is a test that shows that it is faster. Right. We can also see, you know, the 6750 XT is very close. It definitely beating the 3070, you know. But yeah, it's good to see these scores. I always say, and we always say, wait till the reviews come out to really make your final purchasing decision. And again, obviously different titles and different benchmarks perform better on certain hardware. So keep that in mind as well. But it's definitely, like I said, I mean, we always like to see these companies battle it out. Oh, who can say they have the fastest thing out there at the current time. So we'll see. But I expect that the 6950 XT to be pretty beast of a card. And honestly, I really did like the 6900 XT just because based on its price compared to what was out there at the time when it launched, obviously prices have been all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But at its price compared to what NVIDIA was, it was still a good offering. And I think the 6950 XT will be a good offering if it keeps around that same price. And gives you the performance that we're at least seeing in this test. I think people who were looking at that GPU will definitely be very happy with it. So yeah, Now moving on to next gen, we haven't, like, it was like a year ago we got rumors of RDNA 3, which is the next generation of GPUs from AMD, and we have some new leak specifications from these next gen GPUs. So again, these are RDNA 3, and basically what we've been seeing, Navi 31, which will be the big boy, this will be like the, I guess this would be like the 7900
probably XT.
yeah. So 12,288 streaming processors. Navi 32, 8,192 streaming processors, and Navi 33, 4,096 streaming processors. And we have, again, this is all rumors, but these guys have been pretty good at calling the shots, I would say.
Sure.
Now we had previously heard that, you know, the 12,288 was supposed to be 15,360, but it's definitely been cut down. But that's still 140% increase over the Navi 21. So definitely a big increase. So yeah, I mean, I love to see these leaks, but at the same time, these rumors, you know, but it's all about what kind of comes out. And I think you're going to see a lot of different constraints on the GPU industry going through this year, just because availability and what they can kind of put out. But I'm definitely excited to see what we can do here. You know, do you have any big, like, things you might be looking forward to as far as GPUs go?
I mean, I'm going to wait till they're out, right? Both next gens before I make any moves. I feel like I just built this system, right? And
it's been like two years, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 2 years plus, 2.5 probably. So
yeah,
by the time hardware is out and available, it's going to be around 3 years, right? So, or more. So maybe it'll be time. We'll see.
It is kind of nice. But I'm not, it is.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking for sure.
It is nice that we can have systems for like a decent amount of time, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, where like it doesn't feel like it's super outdated, right?
Yeah. And I don't feel like the only thing that I really feel like is lacking behind, and I feel horrible saying this, is my GPU, right? Like, because I felt like at the time I was getting a pretty decent card, a 2070 Super. It's not like trash bin.
Yeah, NVIDIA has been pretty good at that. Next, you know, just like we'll see the Ryzen, or not the Ryzen, the RTX 40 series come out hopefully by the end of this year. I mean, they've been pretty good at kind of pushing the envelope as far as, you know, that next gen is just crushing the previous gen, which is good for obviously for consumers and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I still think you have a good system.
Oh, I do too. Like CPU wise, like that. Sure, I have a 3800X. I don't ever feel like CPU is ever a bottleneck for me by any means.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting stuff. We'll obviously keep you guys updated on next gen GPU stuff, because as we get through this year, and again, it's already May. And I forgot to say at the beginning of the podcast, happy May the 4th to all the Star Wars people out there.
Yeah, it's Star Wars Day.
I forgot about that. So. But yeah, we're already into May, and as we get into summer, and then we start to get more leaks, and then holiday time is typically when we see a launch. Sometimes things are held off to CES, which is in January. So it gets exciting as we get, you know, as the year kind of goes on. So, talking about things that might not be as exciting, Intel CEO, said that the chip shortage will continue into 2024. This is kind of, expected, not only with just supply chain issues, but also with all of these new fabs that are being built that won't be up and running, and the demand, right? So there's only a handful of companies that are actually make chips, right? And the foundries that are available, and these new foundries that are being spun up, they take like 2 to 3 years to actually become active. Sure. and be able to take orders or, you know, build processors. So he said, yeah, the chip shortage could last up until 2024. That's very much expected. I think it's not going to be like what we saw this past year, just because we're at least we would hope we're sort of out of the whole COVID and pandemic thing, right? Where people, you know, are actually working and we don't have these crazy supply chain issues. So it's going to be like any new product, like any new CPU that's going to come out, there's going to be a limited availability at launch, and then you'll see them kind of be pushed out a little bit. I don't think, at least in my mind, I don't see us having like, say the next launch, there's only going to be like a very, very limited amount. There'll be a good amount at launch and then things will come out. I don't think you're going to have a hard time finding processors, at least on like the, you know, desktop side. I don't think you're going to have a hard time finding processors that you're looking for.
Sure.
You know, like you, like right now you can go on Amazon and pick up pretty much,
you can get whatever you want, I think,
processor that you want. So it's not going to be like before. I think the bigger constraints are going to be more on mobile and things that are in a lot higher demand. But it's definitely something to watch, something that we'll obviously keep you guys updated on. And this could obviously cause things to be pushed back a little bit. We've already seen that with Intel and the GPU side of things. So yeah. Also, this is pretty interesting. Dell announced a new, what would you call this? Just a new, how they do memory inside their laptops.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to say form factor, but that's not the right word.
I guess it is.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so at the top here, if you guys are watching in the video, and I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this, in laptops, you have SODIMMs, which are little, basically miniature versions of a normal memory module. And these clip in, and that allows you to change your memory, especially if you're, you know, this is for Dell, this is actually for their Precision laptops. And it's, you know, it, if you have removable memory, it makes the laptop thicker, and everything like that. So they came out with this new stuff called CAMM, C-A-M-M, memory. And you can kind of see what it's kind of set up like. And it's just thinner. They say it's 57% thinner than a typical SODIMM setup. And it's for DDR5. And you can see an actual chip looks like here, which basically just looks like a PCB with just memory ICs all over it. And I guess this side's the connection at the top?
I think it is, but it's on the bottom. I think this is the top of the module. The bottom,
yeah,
I think, has your connection.
Like this.
Make connectivity to the motherboard, yeah.
It's unclear if this is going to be user replaceable.
I mean, it looks like it has the potential to be, because
yeah, because like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 screws that you would take out.
Now, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah. But the whole idea of this is to make the laptop thinner, I think. I know you have a very big laptop and I've used some very big laptops. And the thinner you go, even if you have a big laptop, just making it thinner, it just makes life easier.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this is going to be used. If we'll see like aftermarket companies come out with these CAMM modules that you can buy to upgrade, if that's a possibility. But I do like to see it. I think as somebody who's had a big laptop in the past, making it thin and lighter is always good. And again, if this is the same amount of memory, because again, have you had a laptop that has this, the double stacked SODIMMs like that?
Double stacked? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The double stacked ones. Yeah. I mean, that's decently thick. So
I've had them, the double stack, like where they're directly on top of each other. I've had some where they're kind of staggered,
yeah,
right?
Staggered
and then some where they're right next to each other to design, but yeah, it can get thick really quick.
Yeah. That's what she said. But yeah, that's I like it. I think that making anything thin and lighter is good. So we'll keep you updated. It's not often you see these big changes, I would say, right?
Yeah, this is pretty
like big. In form
factor. It feels, unfortunately, it's kind of proprietary, right? You may not see this anywhere else. So then getting a replacement module, you got to go through Dell to get it.
Well, they say the new form factor is not proprietary to Dell. The company who came up with the design has patented it. So I don't know if Dell is just using it or licensed it or whatever. But again, we don't see big changes in form factors all that often. So this could be a new thing. We'll see if it takes on. And again, for us desktop people, not a big deal because we're not using like laptops all that much, but it's pretty cool. It's definitely cool to see. So yeah. Talking about memory, AMD, their new, you know, with Intel, you have your XMP profile. That is the profile that loads all of your timings and your voltages and all of your subtimings. It does all that stuff. It makes it easy. So when you install new memory in a PC, you go into the BIOS and you select XMP profile. Makes it easy. Now, AMD, especially the first Ryzen launch, they had an issue with making that compatible on their side because that is an Intel-specific technology. With DDR5, they haven't officially come out with anything yet for it. Obviously, no current AMD system supports DDR5, so it's not a big deal. But of course, Ryzen 7000 series, the next generation, AM5, all that stuff that we've talked about a little bit here on this podcast should be coming out later this year, will support DDR5 from the go. 5200 megahertz as the base, which is what Intel supports as well at the base. But they have this new AMD Expo, and it's not an expo like you're going to the AMD Expo. It's called Extended Profile for Overclocking. And they patented this earlier this year, I believe, or late last year. And this is kind of what we would hope this would be. Just like current AMD motherboards with DDR4, you would go in, and I think different motherboard manufacturers call it different things. I know, right? Especially Asus. Asus called it something else, and MSI called it something else. Hopefully with this we have a unified thing where it's like AMD Expo, and then you select whatever the profile or however it works, you know what I mean? But this is a new thing, hopefully, that we would see come out with that. Again, they had a very big issue with this on the initial Ryzen launch. So hopefully we don't. And it took a while for motherboard manufacturers to catch up. Like when we were reviewing the initial Ryzen processors, we had to manually set all of our memory. So hopefully they have this figured out by the time Ryzen 7000 series launches, which should be later this year. So yeah, we'll keep you updated on that, but definitely some interesting stuff on the memory front. Razer put out a awesome looking laptop, and they've had this laptop for a while, but the big thing is that it is the world's first 240 hertz OLED display in a gaming notebook. And I believe Razer does have a 300 hertz one, but it's not an OLED. So this is an OLED. Right. So if you've ever seen an OLED in person,
they look so good.
It's absolutely beautiful. And imagine a 240 hertz OLED in a laptop in the Razer Blade 15, which this is. Yeah. Oh man, I mean, this is the picture they
showed. That's what got a 3070 Ti, right?
Yeah. It's available starting in Q4. Prices start at $34.99. 32 gigabytes DDR5, 1 terabyte SSD. What else does it say?
Doesn't the 12900H?
Where are you seeing that?
Up top, first paragraph.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 3070 Ti. I mean, it's gonna be an awesome system. Yeah, this is like basically a workstation, not a full.
I need a new laptop for work. Maybe I can.
Swindle a I need the 240 hertz OLED version. Yeah. It has this thing, and Razer Blade 15 is a really great looking laptop. Very thin for what's inside. Razer has always done a good job. That's why it's called the Blade, because it's thin. And to have the OLED display on this, it's just going to look amazing. So definitely something cool and something to look forward to for the end of this year is this Razer Blade laptop. And talking about Razer, they announced that they're going to go private. Not completely private, I would say. So Razer, if you don't know, they're listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. You can't buy them on, you know, like the US Stock Exchange. But they actually voted in a recent shareholders meeting to delist from the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. And the deal values the company at $3.17 billion. And that the company plans to go private for a short period of time and then relist in the US for even higher valuation than what it's currently at. I don't know if this has anything to do with China and how they kind of took over Hong Kong in 2019. Not sure. But obviously, it's an interesting development in the future of Razer, obviously. Pretty interesting. Do you think they'll get a higher evaluation in the US?
Higher than they are now? I don't know.
They have revenue of $1.62 billion in 2021, which is up 33% from the previous year. That's a big 33%
big jump. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
I mean, I think people are excited to buy into these tech companies. We saw Corsair, you know, go public. What has it been, a year that they've been public? And it was kind of popular when it came out. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think, and Razer has like their product line is just, they have so much stuff. And the Razer stores that have been opening and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, some interesting stuff there. Talking about, it is Star Wars Day, so I wanted to put this story out there. Seagate has introduced new external hard drives. What gets me
is they call them collectible. Like, I don't collect drives.
But these are pretty cool looking.
They're neat. I know, they are cool.
So you have the Boba Fett, you have the Mandalorian, and you have the Grogu, which I think will be the popular one. And these are special edition of their FireCuda external hard drives. These are USB 3.0, as I like to say, but as people now say, USB 3.2 Gen 1. the portable hard drives, you can use them on PC, you can use them on Xbox. You know, they're not SSDs, but I do think they look cool. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you can.
So they got some lighting on them.
Yeah, a little bit of RGB lighting on the end here that kind of matches the. I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe you can. This is just RGB, like an RGB strip, and you can change the color. But I could be wrong. Yeah. But in any case, they're $109.99 for a 2 terabyte. Happy Star Wars Day. That's our Star Wars news for today. But I do think they look cool. I really like they kind of went with this like artistic look on the.
Who was it? Didn't somebody do a Beskar, like
they did
block drive? It was Seagate.
Yeah, I think Seagate has a licensing deal with Lucas Arts, or they even say it in this. Lucas, is it Lucas Arts?
Okay, so yeah, it was Seagate that had the Beskar
drives. Yeah. But yeah, they have, or Lucasfilm. Yeah, Lucasfilm. They have, I believe they have some licensing deal with them that they can put these out, because they did the Beskar portable drives as well. So yeah, but I like the art. I like that it's not like a picture or.
Yeah, it's like a paint.
Like, yeah, I kind of like it. Yeah. So yeah, so if you're a Star Wars fan, you can go ahead and pick one of those up. And then talking about stuff that's kind of based on a movie. Angry Mao, which has really cool, their Cyberboard mechanical keyboard. It's super high end, but it's a really cool looking keyboard. They came out with like, you gotta call it, it's like a Matrix themed one.
Yeah,
it's their Cyberboard terminal. I mean, this thing looks pretty awesome. It has this sort of like, I guess you call this like a LED display up top here. That's kind of, yeah. Angle. Yeah. And all of their cyberboards have the same design. I think the big thing with this one is that it uses the translucent gasket mounts. It's kind of like, I mean, look how cool. Like these are translucent keys, and you can get it with ones that have the legends on them, and then one with doesn't. So here's like half and half. So here's like with I think the legends look amazing on this, by the way.
I don't know if I'm a fan of the yellowish green. I think a gray would look good.
I like the yellow.
If this I was like, better at typing, I'd love just the plain clear ones.
Yeah, it just looks, and some of these pictures are pretty awesome. I mean, here's like what it would look like sitting on your desk. I mean, pretty awesome. Yeah, it's fully mechanical, very high quality, high end build. I believe the thing starts at $600, or no, base kit 600, which is not engraved. The bundle 810. I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah,
geez. expensive. But I mean, keyboard people are really. I think this is a great looking keyboard. You don't like these legends like that.
See, right there in that picture, they look more of a green color, and I do like them there. It's that other picture that makes them look more yellow.
I think it's because they're not.
Or maybe it's the lighting
backlit. Let me see if they have it on their website. Here. Can I learn more? That's a video. I don't know if I want to watch that. So that's with this is this picture right here is without the legends. Right. That looks cool. Right.
It does look good.
So this is like the translucent
the body or the
it uses this. Yeah, it's cool looking. And then you can see the breakdown of what kind of all goes inside of it and all that. I don't know. $810. It comes in this really cool.
It better.
Yeah, for that much money. Yeah. Very cool stuff. Here's some of those pictures. What? I mean, if I had unlimited funds. But I don't know. I mean... But you can see the profile here.
And they show it there with different colors on the display.
Yeah, so the display, I believe...
It's not just green.
Yeah, you can customize whatever you want. It's just a, you know... Yeah, it's all the pictures of it. Yeah, let me have more. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's super cool. Way too much for me to spend on a keyboard, but yep. It does look pretty awesome. But yeah, let us know if you would spend at least $600 on that keyboard, $810 for like the whatever the combo is that they have there. But talking about keyboards, we're talking about what we have coming up next week as we come to the end here. Ryan will be taking a look at the Cherry MX 10.0N. Is that really the product name of this thing?
Yep. It's kind of funky.
Yeah, name, low profile. It's a neat
keyboard. Yeah, low profile. Cherry MX, low profile switches. It's nice and quiet. It's just like a dampened sound. Super solid feeling, high quality feel to it.
You know what I always find is like, so Cherry MX, everybody knows Cherry MX for their switches. Every gaming keyboard, for the most part, if it's the high-end version, comes with Cherry MX switches.
Right.
Make amazing switches, and they make these, and they make the. Again, you said this is really good. We'll talk about it obviously more next week, but like, they make pretty high-end quality hardware as far as like the full keyboard. But you never hear about their full keyboards, right? Like as a product,
I think they just don't push them as a product.
Do you think they don't push them? Do you think they don't push them as much? So they don't compete with like their actual probably business that makes the most money, which is their switches. Like if they come out with this awesome keyboard and it's competing directly against Corsair, Corsair is like, oh, we're just going to go to Gateron or somebody else.
I don't know. There's just think of how many gaming keyboards are sold every year.
Yeah, like, I know. I'm just this does look nice though. You like the low profile?
I do. Yep, yep. I've been using a low profile keyboard at work for the last couple of years. Love it. That's where I've done most of my testing. Is just day to day use. Like nice. Swapped out my keyboard at my desk at work.
I do feel the low profiles give you like the best of both worlds because I do feel that like I wouldn't say a scissor switch is better for typing, but like that lower profile feel of a scissor switch with the mechanical of the Cherry MX low profile is like perfect for like if you only had to get one keyboard that was for like work and gaming. I think the low profile is kind of where it's at. So we're excited to take a look at that. I'm excited to learn about it next week. I also have some new memory from a company that you probably haven't heard of. They're kind of trying to make their break into the North American market. It's called vColor, and they sent us over some DDR5s. This is super fast, 6200 megahertz. It is their Manta X Prism. And what's cool about this is that it's a 32 gigabyte kit, so you get two 16 gig DIMMs, but then they come with two dummy DIMMs, so it looks like your memory is fully populated, which is really nice. And you're wondering, we saw that before. We saw that from Gigabyte Norris. This is because vColor was the OEM for Gigabyte. I'm excited to take a look at this kit. Super fast, super low timings too. The timings on the 6200 kit, 36, 39, 39, 76 at 1.35 volts. So very, very fast timings on this thing too. I would expect it's going to be our highest performing DDR5 to date. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then we have a new mouse, which I can't tell you much about. I can tell you that I'm using it. I can't show it to you. There may or may not be a box of it behind me somewhere. You might be able to point it out, but that's all I can say. It's very lightweight. I'm really excited to tell you guys about it. We'll have a review and a video next Tuesday for it. So pretty excited about that. We'll be gaming later, so I'll be able to test it out, but it's very lightweight. That's all I can say. So stay tuned for all of that next week. We've had 2 weeks off. You said you brought all your camera stuff. You didn't use it. Did you do anything else tech related or watch anything?
I did.
You did?
I bought a Sabrent. Now I can't remember which one it was. The Rocket 4 Plus, I believe. The 1 terabyte version. Gen 4 SSD. So I moved over from my WD-SN 750 to it. Went super smooth with the included Acronis software.
Isn't that just so easy to do?
Oh, it's so nice.
Especially with the speeds too.
And I was surprised because it didn't require like a restart. Sometimes I've used other software where you're like, okay, here's my source, here's my destination. And it's like, okay, we're going to shut down Windows, we're going to reboot, and we're going to launch into our own mini OS, right?
Yeah.
And run the process and then restart again. This did it all while Windows was running and was like, all right, just power it off, take the old drive out, then leave the new one in. And so I had done it with an external enclosure, but swapped it out, booted right up, no issues.
Super fast, too, awesome. Right?
Yeah, I've honestly haven't messed with it. I ran a couple benchmarks and I was like, okay, yep, it's fast. And I haven't really messed with it too much.
Gen 4, you know, I'm still super excited, even though, I mean, Gen 4, incredibly fast, but PCI Express 5.
Five's double that speed.
Yeah, we'll see that towards the end of the year. I'm really excited for some of that stuff as we get into that. Yeah.
I think that
that's exciting. You didn't, like I said, you didn't take any.
I brought my camera and like tripod and drone and action cam, everything with me on my trip. Didn't pull any of it out. Dang. So didn't do any of that. Nope.
Old man in the chat said he bought a. How do you say that? Eufy security full light security camera. Isn't that owned by Amazon? I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of ads, like especially in Instagram for that company.
I don't think they are.
I've heard good stuff. I've heard good stuff about them. You and I are kind of like in the Wyze ecosystem, so I really don't go out of that when it comes to like home stuff. But yeah, that's cool. I obviously went on that trip, didn't fly my drone, but I did use the new GoPro Hero 10. And I talked about it before, like out of camera.
Just looks great.
It looks, it's, I mean, with any action camera, you have to use it in sun, like during the day in sunlight. It's right. going to look the best in that setting. And it was nice. And, you know, we were out there on like side by sides, like flying around the deserts, you know, just holding it with like a selfie stick. But I mean, the stabilization
just amazing. Looks great.
Yeah. It's, awesome. It's very impressive. And it's expensive. I think the Hero 10 is like $500. So, I mean, it's expensive, but if you're looking for an all and like the audio quality is like, is so good for what it for a little camera. I mean, it's very, very good.
I know I have like the first GoPro Hero that did like 720, and that thing sounds so tinny and horrible. Like there's no point in using any of the audio from it. It's
yeah, terrible. And I took it in the water and everything. I mean, it was like no issues. And again, you don't need like a cage or anything on it. I mean, just like the Osmo Action that we both have, you don't need a cage on that either.
Right.
For the water, but it's just very, very impressive. It's just all the action cameras, they're just not good in low light. Like it would be a great like all around camera for anything, but the low light on it is pretty horrible. So that's the only thing you kind of have to, you know, but again, it's an action camera, so you should be using it outside, like in
right.
you know, in the sunlight. But yeah, that's pretty much all I did. We talked about Halo, the TV show. I haven't been keeping up with that. I need to watch the next few episodes of that.
Yep. Moon Knight. Have you watched any Moon Knight?
I don't even know what that is.
Never mind. Last episodes came out today. It's a Marvel show on Disney Plus.
No, for I haven't Moon watched Knight. That. I have not watched that. Well, everybody, you guys can check that it out. I also totally non tech related, but NHL playoffs have started. Watching all the games. So if you're into hockey, I got my Penguins cup here. Penguins won last night. So,
yeah, all right.
So yeah. So NHL playoffs, if you want to see some good games and it's been awesome so far. So, but yeah, that is it, guys. We are going to switch over to Twitch. If you want to keep on hanging out with us, usually Wednesday nights is our gaming night. Of course, I have to test this new mouse that I was telling you guys about. So you can go over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will have the stream up. He is our dedicated streamer. He does all the streaming things. So head on over there. We appreciate everybody coming out. Of course, old man in the chat as well. Good to see you here. And of course, everybody who listens later, what do we got? Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. We appreciate you guys listening, and we will see you guys next week.